Chapter 15.
"They're killing everyone," said Olmedath, storming across the embarkation deck towards Ordus. He was half-dressed in his flying gear, oxygen pipes trailing from his baggy enviro suit as he rushed towards her. His face was white, and he was visibly shaken, his hands trembling as he tried to fasten his straps. The Benedictus was the capital ship of Commander Ortegal's fleet, and its primary launch bay was vast. It was crowded with gunships, shuttles and landing craft, but Ordus and Olmedath were the only pilots present. Everyone else who had taken part in the bombing of Seppus Prime had been called to a debriefing. Ordus had been about to make her way there when Olmedath arrived.
"What do you mean?"
she laughed, unfastening her helmet.
"Ortegal has ballsed everything up,"
gasped Olmedath, barging past her. He singled out a shuttle beneath the gunship she'd just emerged from. The shuttle was fueled and ready for takeoff, and Olmedath sprinted towards it. She rushed after him, lowering her voice. There were no pilots on the deck, but plenty of servitors and engine seers, refueling and repairing the aircraft that had just massacred the regiments on Seppus.
"What are you doing? What do you mean, killing everyone?"
Olmedath clambered up the shuttle's access hatch and shoved it open, then paused to look back at her, his eyes wild.
"We killed all those regiments on Seppus Prime for nothing," he hissed. "All those poor bastards burned while the contagion was happily heading off-world in a cargo hauler. Some psyker got infected and survived the blasts. No one knows where he went."
Ordus felt sick. None of them had wanted to fly that mission. There had even been a flicker of mutinous talk, but she had been one of those who calmed the rabble-rousers down. She had reminded her flight crew that the commander was only doing what had to be done. They had to preserve the rest of the subsector from damnation, however great the loss of life.
"They died for nothing,"
she muttered, shaking her head. Olmedath forgot his urgency and leant back to stare at her, his face flushed with rage.
"It's worse than that. I heard that Commander Ortegal was secretly backing the governor who went rogue down there. So he's responsible for the whole mess. Ortegal's no heretic. As good as. He backed the governor so they could get all the insurrectionists under one banner. But the governor was actually spreading some kind of mutant plague. They said he was involved in a cult."
He lowered his voice.
"Heresy. But you said Ortegal's killing people now. What do you mean? The planet's dead. We killed it." "He's killing people up here, on the Benedictus. Executions. Anyone who flew the mission. Commissarial death squads. He's trying to cover his tracks."
Ordus clutched her head.
"Those people on Seppus. We killed them all. All on his orders." "On the orders of a liar," hissed Olmedath. "Come with me, Ordus. This shuttle will make it to the Zephyrum orbital platform. I can scramble our signal as we fly. They'd never track something this small. The last of the cargo haulers will be leaving Zephyrum soon. We can..."
Olmedath paused, a surprised expression on his face. He had noticed something on his breast pocket, a small hole. He reached down to touch it, puzzled, then groaned, as blood rushed through his fingers. Another hole appeared next to the first. More blood rushed out, lots more, and Olmedath fell, hitting the deck plating with a clang. Dead. Ordus looked back across the hangar. Guardsmen were rushing towards her, lasguns raised. The ladder she was holding buckled in her grip as more shots landed. She bolted into the shuttle and slammed the hatch, rushing to the control panel and triggering the holo display.
"We're close," said Olmedath.
"No, Olmedath is dead. She remembered." It was Tadia she could hear talking. She shook her head, cursing.
"Tadius. She was not on the Benedictus. That all happened months ago. She was on the Blackstone."
The name summoned the place. The embarkation deck of the Benedictus fell away, replaced by a dark, angular passageway.
"We're close," said Thaddeus, staring at her from the shadows. "Nothing else matters. To martyr oneself in service to the God Emperor is an honour."
The preacher had not paused since they lost Drake and Corval, forging on down the passageways with even more fervour than before. The air was still thick and cloying, making every step a struggle, but Thaddeus marched on with a grin on his face. Every few minutes he would stop to examine his book or adjust his rosarius on his chest. But beyond that, he showed no hesitation, wrenching his bulk through the leaning apertures and skewed intersecting landscapes.
"Martyrs?" said Ordus, shaking her head, still trying to escape her thoughts of the Benedictus.
That ship haunted her. Whenever she thought she might find a way to escape the past, she saw mushroom clouds rising from the marshes of Seppa's Prime and heard the screams of the men she killed crackling over the Vox networks, filling her mind with pain. Isola was watching her, frowning, about to speak, but Ordus glared back, making it clear she did not want to talk. Drake's prim little Terran attaché was a symbol of everything she had come to despise, unquestioning loyalty to the Imperium, wrapped up in an immaculate uniform and a haughty pout. She would not explain herself to such a woman. She hurried after Thaddeus. She could not quite believe she'd ended up in the company of this lunatic again. And now, with Drake gone, there was no one to challenge Thaddeus's tedious assertions that the hand of the God Emperor was in everything.
"We never saw Drake die," she said. Her voice was strange, so muted and distorted by the Blackstone that she could not recognise it. "Nor the Navigator. Why talk of martyrs?"
Thaddeus shook his head.
"Even if they're alive, they will be utterly lost. The Navigator might be able to protect their minds, but..."
Thaddeus's words trailed off, and he slowed down. He glanced at Pius Fawn, who was keeping pace with him, her flamer lit and ready to fire.
"Are you... how have you felt since we lost Corval?"
Vaughan shook her head.
"I am still with you, Your Eminence. It is not as bad as last time. I have been reciting the catechisms we practiced."
Thaddeus nodded and looked back at Ordus and Isola. They both shook their heads.
"Your Eminence," said Isola, her face pale and anguished, "we must return and look for Captain Drake. We can't abandon him in here. How will he find his way back to the Vanguard?"
Thaddeus gave her a concerned look and halted, clasping his hands to his chest.
"My child, don't you think I would find him if I could? But where would we look? Which route would we explore?"
Isola looked around at the dozens of openings and passageways that led into the darkness. She looked so pained that Ordus almost felt sorry for her.
"The priest's right," said Ordus. "Our only hope of survival is..."
She looked at Thaddeus with distaste.
"Our only hope is to follow the priest to the Oscurus Vault. His visions have shown him the way there and the way back to the Dragon's Teeth. If we wander off without him, we'll die in this maze. He is the eldest son of House Drake. I cannot simply lose him."
"You care about him," said Ordus.
"I understand that, but..."
Isola raised an eyebrow.
"You do not understand. It is not a matter of caring. Yanis Drake was once heir apparent to the Drake family fortune. Have you any idea what that means? House Drake is an ancient dynasty. Family estates, fiefdoms, trading rights, entire fleets of void ships, wealth beyond anything you can..."
"I see," laughed Ordus.
"It's not that you care about him. I get it. He's a big deal. There's still nothing we can do."
Isola looked at the two remaining members of the Drake Household Guard. Their uniforms were scorched and blood-splattered, but they still had their lasguns and plenty of charges.
"I could return and look for him," she said. Don't be a fool, said Ordus. You saw the same as the rest of us. There's no way back to him. The fortress rebuilt itself. That chamber has gone. Where would you look?
Ordus was not overly concerned if Isola wanted to blunder off back into the darkness and kill herself, but the two soldiers were a different matter. They were a small group as it was. She did not like the idea of losing any more guns. She needed to keep the group together until they reached the Ascuris Vault. Once she got her hands on the relic Thaddeus kept talking about, she could dump the lot of them and get back to the vanguard. According to Thaddeus, the eye was not only a priceless artifact, it would also give her godlike omniscience. She would have no problem returning to the ship. She would tell the crew everyone died but her. Once she sold the Eye of Hermias, she would be so wealthy even the Navy would never find her. She would find a world on the furthest fringe of the sector and forget she'd ever heard of the Imperium. But none of that would work if Isola split the group before they could reach the vault. Think about it, she said, leaning close to Isola. Captain Drake is with Korval. Navigators have all sorts of tricks up their sleeves. Korval's not like us. He's warp-bred. One foot in the real world and one in places I don't want to imagine. When push comes to shove, he'll find a way to get through. I've seen what those freaks can do. Korval didn't let us see what he's capable of. He'll find a way back to the vanguard and he'll take Drake with him.
Thaddeus had been looking frustrated as he watched the exchange, but at this he nodded eagerly.
They're probably already back on the shuttle, waiting for us to return with the Eye of Hermias.
He waved his mace down another passageway.
And we shall not disappoint them. Keep moving, my children, keep moving!
With that, the priest forced his way on through the darkness, head down, shoulder first, like he was wading through fire. As the rest of the group followed, Ordus thought of something interesting Isola had just said.
Did you say Captain Drake used to be the heir apparent?
Isola glared at her, but said nothing, striding after Thaddeus. Ordus smirked. Perhaps she was not the only one who had made mistakes.